There's a movement called the John 17 movement. And this movement basically it justifies joining with other denominations, including the Roman Catholic Church. So, you know, this movement was basically started by a man by the name of Joe Tosini. He's a Pentecostal minister, and he believed the Lord spoke to him back in 2013 and about seeking unity amongst the Christians, and including the Catholic Church. And he had a desire to meet with the Pope. And, you know, he met with the Pope in 2016. I think on that day, one of the days, he might have met at different times for almost 3 hours. And the Pope even invited the people that went over there with him to take selfies with him. So let me just say something here, folks. The Pope is no dummy. You know, stuff like this is all over the papers. So when you are taking pictures with the Pope, and now you're showing everybody, Catholics and Protestants and so on and so forth, together, that's exactly what the Church of Rome wants. Up on a screen you can see, you'll see Francis Chan. He's a well-known minister. He met with the Pope in 2017. So, you know, what's happening here, folks? This unity that I've been speaking about basically since I'm saved, that's what you, that we're all one, you see? That we're all, we may have our differences, but we're all Christians. We all believe in the same Jesus, but that's not true. That's not true. So I know that because the real Jesus saved my soul, and by the Spirit of God told me to leave the Roman Catholic Church, that they preach the counterfeit gospel. So stuff like this, this John 17 movement, it's basically really nothing new. Well, as I said, you know, there's really nothing new, but I just wanted you to see who was involved. Another person that we can take a look at is Mr. James Robison. You know him. He has a television show. You know, he happened to do a show back in 2011. And on that particular program, he had a Roman Catholic priest on as his guest. It was a priest by the name of Father Jonathan Morris. He's no longer a priest, by the way. I think he wanted to get married, so he left the priesthood. So, but as far as I know, he's still a Roman Catholic, still pushing Roman Catholic doctrines, as far as I know. So, but at the time, in 2011, he was on the program with Mr. James Robison and his wife. And I listened carefully as Mr. Robison spoke about a time that he spoke to Billy Graham. See, Mr. Robison used to speak out against the Roman Catholic Church, and he made a phone call to Billy Graham, and, you know, speaking, you know, why are you joining hands with Rome? And long story short, Billy Graham was talking to him, you know, stuff like, do you really get to know the Catholics and so on and so on. So the next thing you know, Mr. Robison is working with the Roman Catholic. So on this particular program, he's talking to this priest, and he's talking about, you know, the time he says that he says, I chewed out Billy Graham, and he puts his hands up and he says, oh God, forgive me, forgive me. So listen to this. I want you to see what took place. He took the counsel of a man who was seduced by Rome. Graham was already seduced by Rome. He listened to the words of the man instead of sticking with the scriptures, instead of sticking with the word of God. The truth sets you free, ladies and gentlemen. That's what set me free. So now he's working with the Church of Rome. It was pitiful to watch, I'll tell you that. It, as a former Roman Catholic, you know, I look at stuff like this, I'm like, wow, this is unbelievable stuff. Ephesians 5 and 11, it says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So that's what should have taken place. And, you know, I'm going to put an image on the screen there. There's an image of Mr. Robison. Now he went over to Rome and some other people, and there he is high-fiving the Pope. And another person that was over there, John Arnott, and his wife, he was the one that was involved with the that Toronto revival, is what they call it, at the Toronto airport or something like that. So, you know, people go over there. Kenneth Copeland was over there. They're all having dinner together. Everybody's swinging together. You know, we're brothers. No, 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 ma'am. No, sir. You know, true unity can only be in the Holy Ghost. There is a true unity, but it's for those who have been truly born again of the Holy Spirit, God's way. And when I was born again of the Spirit, I came out of that system quickly, because the Holy Spirit of truth is going to guide you and show you the errors of their teachings, which are many. Oh, yes. So, you know, what's taking place, described by the Apostle Paul, 1 Timothy 4:1, it says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils," or doctrines of demons, whichever way you prefer. Another one, Pat Robertson, you know him from the 700 Club. I think he recently stepped down. His wife recently died. You're sorry to hear about that. But Mr. Robinson works with Rome regularly for decades. Oh, yes, he did. In fact, if you take a look at the university, Regent University, that's the college that is aligned with Mr. Robinson, the 700 Club, you know, they have the sacrifice of the Roman Catholic Mass offered up regularly in that college, in that university. Oh, yes, they do. It used to be every Tuesday, as far as I know. Nothing has changed. So, obviously, they work hand in hand with the Church of Rome. He has no problem with that. You know, when John Paul II died, this is what Pat Robertson had to say. This is from CBN.com. April 2nd, 2005, he said, "I am deeply grieved as a great man passes from this world to his much-deserved eternal reward. John Paul II has been the most beloved religious leader of our age, far surpassing in popular admiration a leader of any faith. I pray for the cardinals of the Catholic Church that they might have God-given wisdom in selecting the successor to this great man. Their task will not be easy, but with God, all things are possible." Now, if I pray that God gives God-given wisdom to Rome, they're going to leave that place, folks. They're not going to be picking another pope. You see, that God-given wisdom, the truth is going to set them free. So once again, this is where we are in the modern day. Now, I want you to contrast what Mr. Pat Robertson said with what took place with a man by the name of Marty Minto, okay, also back during the time of the death of the Pope. So it says here, this is an excerpt from an article from Charisma Now. It says, Marty Minto, 39, a senior pastor of the 100-member Turning Point Community Church in Newcastle, was fired earlier this month after 3 years as a host on Word FM, that's W-O-R-D, FM in Pittsburgh. The Pittsburgh Post-Gazette reported, Minto said he was told he was alienating listeners. After the April 2nd death and funeral of the Pope, Minto discussed with callers John Paul II's deep devotion to Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Catholic beliefs such as purgatory. I made it clear that the discussion was not an attack on the character of the Pope, but rather a look at the teachings, not only of John Paul II, but of the Catholic Church. Minto said that he responded to the question about whether the Pope would go to heaven with the belief held by many evangelicals that a person must be a born-again believer. So that's from Charisma Now, April 21, 2005. Okay, now, look at that, folks. So do you see the contrast between what Mr. Pat Robertson did? By the way, you know, we're talking about a multi-million dollar ministry, folks. The money comes in. Oh, yes, it does. Now, here's this humble pastor, Marty Minto, just trying to do the right thing. He has a radio program. He, obviously, he's trying to reach people so that they might be born again, that they might be saved. And now, obviously, he took a stand for the truth. This is heavy-duty stuff here, folks. He's standing for the truth, and the man was fired. Jesus said, "I came not to bring peace, but a sword." You see, the sword of the word, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to divide. And so here he is told that he's alienating listeners. That's heavy, folks. You see, this is where we are today. It's been going on for decades. And, you know, there's just it's like a demonic dance. It's like I always have this mental picture of a square dance with Roman Catholic priests and Christian pastors just doing a little do-si-do together. This is what's going on, folks. It is from the pit of hell. That's why I'm doing this video, folks. Speaking the warning once again. So, you know, I thank God for people like Marty Minto that took a stand. You see? And he suffered for it. It's called persecution. You see? So when light comes against darkness, there's going to be confrontation. It's going to be a problem. You see? You know, you can be a pastor in a church and just tell the people, come on, let's give Jesus a hand. Everybody loves Jesus. Come on, let's give Jesus a hand. Anybody could do that, folks. And it goes on a lot in modern day churches. You see? So when you try to warn people, it's not well received. There's a man by the name of Larry Thomas. He's not alive anymore. You know, I had a couple of videos back in the day. He did teachings on discernment. He wrote a book called The Watchman. So he spoke about discernment a lot. And he was part of a ministry where there were other ministers. And what they would do, they would meet every day and they would take turns, you know, leading the meeting, you know, giving a word and preaching, I guess, a short message. You know, I guess they would pray together, which is a good thing, by the way. So one day, what Larry did, he took his appointment book. I think it was a leather appointment book that he brought with him. And it was his time to preach. And in his appointment book, he had little sayings on the top. You know, those little inspirational sayings, you know. But it wasn't the scriptures. So what he did, he started preaching to them. And he started quoting those little sayings that were at the top of each page. You know, the calendar there. And he threw in a couple of these and thous, and he wanted to make it sound really spiritual, you know. So as he's preaching, and they said revival almost broke out. He says, people are saying, preach it, Larry. Amen, my brother. You go with that. You go, my brother. Preach the word of God. You know, that went on for a few minutes until he stopped and told them what he was doing. He let them know the charade, what he was up to. And he was teaching on the topic of discernment. The point he was obviously making is that here I am preaching to you. I'm not even preaching the word of God, but I'm doing it in such a way that you're receiving it, you see? So he was trying to give them a teaching on discernment. That's what he was doing, ladies and gentlemen. I like that story, by the way, that he told. Another person that's met with the Pope, Mr. Joel Osteen. He met back in June 2014. He attended a Catholic Mass. There were over 100,000 deceived people that attended that Mass. Paul Crouch, another one, TBN. They dance with Rome. They've been dancing with Rome for a very long time. You know, a while ago I did a video. They were selling products at the TBN store, folks. They were selling rosary beads, you name it, books on how to pray the rosary, books on the Catholic Mass, books about the popes. You want it, it was right there. I couldn't believe it. You know, lately, you know, if you go there, they don't have a store anymore. You cannot find anything. So I don't know what happened, ladies and gentlemen, but trust me, they were selling Roman Catholic stuff. I know they have priests regularly on that show also. So it's called apostasy. It's compromise, ladies and gentlemen. They went over to meet the Pope also. Over to the Rome and the whole nine yards. Another one, ladies and gentlemen, you've heard of her, Catherine Kuhlman. This was before I got saved, so I wasn't aware of this until obviously years later when she was not even alive anymore. But, you know, during the heyday of the Catholic Charismatic Movement, many people were swept away by stuff like this, folks. This unity, this joint meeting of Christians and Catholics together. Now, Jamie Buckingham wrote an autobiography called The Daughter of Destiny. And in that book, Kuhlman had a special love for doctors and wanted them either on the stage or on the front rows of the auditorium. The same was true of priests and nuns, especially if they were in uniform. Nothing thrilled Catherine more than to have 30 or 40 Catholic clergymen, especially if they wore clerical collars, or better yet, cassocks, sitting behind her while she ministered. somehow it seemed to lend authenticity to what she was doing and help create the proper climate of a trust and understanding, which was so necessary for a miracle service. So, you know, that's what we're dealing with, ladies and gentlemen. Let me give you a quote now from a book. It's called All Roads Lead to Rome, The Ecumenical Movement by Michael de Semlien. Okay, he's talking about a priest by the name of Tom Forrest. Now, I remember that name because when I was in the Roman Catholic Charismatic Movement for a bit, 2 or 3 years, I forget what it was. You know, I used to go to Roman Catholic healing masses and the whole nine yards, which I spoke about earlier in this documentary. And this is a quote regarding this man, Tom Forrest. Tom Forrest, the key figure in charge of Rome's decade of evangelization program, and at the head of the whole Catholic Charismatic Renewal organization, certainly puts the doctrines of Rome to the fore. At a training session for Roman Catholics at Indianapolis 90, he spoke with enthusiasm and deep conviction about his renewed faith. In view of his importance to the ecumenical movement of the 1990s, he is quoted here at some length. Here's what he said: "My job, my role, our role in evangelization, it's not just to make Christians. Our job is to make people as richly and fully Christian as we can make them by bringing them into the Catholic Church. No, you don't just invite someone to be Christian. You invite them to become Catholics. You invite them to come with you as a new parishioner of your Catholic Church. We don't just have the Eucharist as a symbol of the body and blood of Christ. On our altars, we have the body of Christ. We drink the blood of Christ. Jesus is alive on our altars as offering and as a banquet of love. We become one with Christ in the Eucharist, the very body of Christ. As Catholics, we have Mary, and that mom of ours, Queen of Paradise, is praying for us till she sees us in glory." Wow. So you can see the way the Catholic charismatic movement works, folks. You know, just by what that man said, he's not alive anymore, Mr. Tom Forrest. He said, "We don't just have the Eucharist as a symbol of the body and blood of Christ. On our altars, we have the body of Christ. We drink the blood of Christ." So there you have the Catholic Eucharist, folks. You see that? This is the false gospel of Rome. So this is what he's saying. Don't make them make them a Catholic. So this is what the reformers fought against, and this is why they were bludgeoned to death, killed, burnt at the stake, because they stood against just what this man, Tom Forrest, a big influence in Roman Catholic Charismatic Movement, look what he said there. So he's standing for the very same thing that the reformers stood against. Do you see that? So I've said it before. The Roman Catholic Charismatic Movement, folks, is Roman Catholicism on steroids. Don't be fooled into this singing together. I was in the movement. I know what it's about. I've spoken to people within a charismatic prayer group that we came out of. We told them, no, we can't do this thing with Mary. In fact, my praying to Mary increased when I was in a charismatic movement. I spoke about that earlier. It increased. So it's a deception, folks. People don't want to hear it, though. But I got to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, in fact, you know, I started attending a non-denominational church after I was saved, me and my wife, Kathy. And we met a Christian woman, and we told her our testimony, how we were delivered out from the cult of Roman Catholicism. And she listened carefully, very nice lady. And it's kind of funny, about a year later, we met the same lady in like the same exact spot. And we started talking to her again. And, you know, hey, good to see you. How you doing? And then she knew our background, so she told me, she said, you know, I just joined a Catholic charismatic prayer group. I'm praying with them now. And I looked at her, and I said, you know, be careful, sister. Before you know it, they're going to have you praying a rosary. She looked at me, and she says, I feel sick. They already have me praying the rosary. Folks, I know a divine appointment when I have it. You know, this is what I am talking about, folks. This is reality. This goes on a regular basis. And you won't hear about things like this in a pulpit. They don't go near it. That's why we are where we are today. Let's talk a little about the counterfeit Mary of Rome. So a lot of counterfeits, we have the counterfeit Christ, the counterfeit Jesus Christ of Rome in that Eucharist. We have the counterfeit new birth, okay, how you become born again. And now we have the counterfeit Mary. So Pope John Paul II, he was addicted to Mary. In fact, on the inside of his papal garments, he had sewed Totus Tuus Sum Maria. What does that mean? Mary, I am totally yours. Now think about that. If Pope John Paul II belonged totally to Mary, where does the gospel of Jesus Christ come in? Think about that. Mary, Mary, Mary. They attempted to kill this man. He survived that attack and gave all credit to Mary. Think about that. So Pope Francis, he's another one addicted to Mary. When he goes on a trip to different countries, he prays before an image of Mary, asking her for protection. When he returns, he goes to that same image and thanks her for protecting him. So the counterfeit Holy Father has seduced millions. Oh, yes. And he consecrated the whole world recently to Mary. And wherever he goes, he's always consecrating countries to Mary. Mary, Mary, Mary. This is from an article from John L. Allen. This is what he said in his homily on Thursday. Francis said that Jesus cannot be understood without his mother. At one point, the Pope also introduced an impromptu Marian devotion, inviting the assembly in St. Peter's Basilica to rise, face the statue of Mary, and repeat three times, Mary, Mother of God. The Pope recalled that at the 5th century Council of Ephesus, a crowd actually shouted that phrase at the gathered bishops while waving clubs at them, threatening violence if they didn't formally proclaim Mary as the Mother of God. This time, Francis jokingly invited people to make the chant without clubs. He led the crowd in St. Peter's Square in the same chant during his Angelus address. Can you imagine this? So here's the Pope with all these thousands of deceived Catholics. He's telling them, look at that statue and repeat after me, Mary, Mary, the Mother of God. Mary, Mother of God. Mary, Mother of God. Only one problem, folks. God does not have a mother. Folks, God doesn't have a mother. That would make Mary deity. Do you see this, folks? Do you see this, folks? This is unbelievable stuff that is going on, folks. And you won't hear a peep from the pulpits of America. Oh, yes, you know, what the Pope needs to do is read Acts 19, verses 23 to 28, and you can read about the time when all the people were crying out to Diana, you know, great is Diana of the Ephesians. And that passage dealt with Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines. So, you know, what happened, they were preaching against this. And Paul was speaking against this, and now the people were upset. So he got these people making money, and they knew that their craft was in danger, and started talking about the great goddess Diana. So this is what it is, folks. Think about the statues of Mary, all the idolatry. Think about the millions, billions of dollars that are made over the centuries with all these idols. It's demonic, folks, from the pit of hell. Here's another statement made by the present Pope Francis. This was in May of 2015. It says, visiting Naples in March, Pope Francis told priests, nuns, and seminarians that one way to make sure Jesus is the center of their lives is to ask his mother to take you to him. A priest, a brother, a nun who does not love Mary, who does not pray to her, I would even say one who does not recite the rosary, well, if you don't love the mother will not give you the son. Now, folks, Have you ever heard anything like that before? The mother won't give you the son. If you don't pray to Mary, she's not going to give you the son. The Bible tells me God gave the son. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So we've covered a lot of ground here. You've seen the light, you've seen the darkness, folks. The darkness of Roman Catholicism and how they have infiltrated the pulpits throughout the world. Rick Warren was another one who referred to Pope Francis as our Pope. Can you imagine this? Here's the man, the purpose-driven life, known all over the world, calls Pope Francis our Pope. Think of the martyrs, folks. Think of what you heard in part two, the martyrs burnt at the stake for taking a stand for truth. Here's a man calling Pope Francis our Pope. Remember Ulf Ekman? Yes, here's a thing from Charisma Magazine. This man was the head of a church over there in Sweden and for a long time. And they used to speak out against the teachings of Roman Catholicism. It says here in this article, during his Sunday morning service, Ulf Ekman announced that he and his wife, Birgitta, are converting to Roman Catholicism. Ekman is the founder of Word of Life, a megachurch in Uppsala, Sweden. News reports and blogs coming out of the nation reveal congregation was partially stunned after hearing what was packaged as a special announcement. The theme was follow the Lamb wherever he goes. And last but not least, we have come in contact with representatives from millions of charismatic Catholics, and we have seen their living faith. So that's something that Ulf Ekman said. You know, he was affected by the Catholic charismatic movement. Can you imagine going to church one day and your pastor tells you, me and my wife were converted to Catholicism? That's scary stuff. Another thing you need to know, folks, the persecution that I spoke about in the last section, it hasn't stopped. It still goes on. Down in Mexico, they're still persecuting people. Christians, you know, are being persecuted by the Roman Catholics in Mexico. Some of them are being thrown out of the house. Their water's being turned off. Electricity shut off. Some of them are being thrown in jail. Some are killed. Why? Simply because they refused to bend their knee to Rome. Many of them came out of the Roman Catholic Church. They got saved, just like myself. So now, the persecution. And keep in mind, this was the place, Chiapas, Mexico, where Pope Francis visited. And he rode around on his Pope Mobile to his adoring fans, you know, by the millions, I think it was. So keep that in mind, folks. This is what we're dealing with. Over in England, there was a youth rally. It was called Adoremus, Liverpool 2018, National Eucharistic Pilgrimage and Congress. I am the bread of life. So this was Liverpool. The only thing I know about Liverpool, I believe that's where the Beatles came from. So that's the only thing I know. But here we have Adoremus, a National Eucharistic Pilgrimage and Congress. Adoration for young people. You can see up on the screen. There's an image there. I have an arrow going there. You see the circle? We've spoken about this. That's that the monstrance. That's called the Blessed Sacrament, ladies and gentlemen. So here's this youth meeting. And part of the things that were handed out, it says here, in preparation for the National Eucharistic Congress to be held in Liverpool in September, the Archbishop has asked for each parish and school in his diocese to pay special attention to adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. In particular, he has asked each school to have a holy hour before the Blessed Sacrament. The special place adoration of Blessed Sacrament holds in our faith can be found through Catholic tradition and can perhaps best be summarized in the following documents. And then they gave some documents, which I'm not going to go into. So I want you to see that this youth meeting, ladies and gentlemen, it all had to do with the worship of the Blessed Sacrament. That's the worship of that wafer host that they believe after transubstantiation becomes the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. And what they did, I saw a video, what they had, you know, on the screen was an image of a monstrance with that host in it, and they would be singing songs as people were adoring that image. Now, one of the people, you know, there are different musicians over there. You probably heard of Matt Redman, and they have songs for use during adoration. And you'll see right at the top, 10,000 Reasons. You know that song, Bless the Lord, O My Soul. Oh, my soul. So that song was sung. Another one on the bottom there, Here for You by Matt Redman. So you had some well-known people there, folks. These songs are being sung as this image of the Blessed Sacrament is on the screen. My, oh, my. If you take a look back in 1978, they had a meeting in the Meadowlands called Jesus 1978. You had a mixture there. There were Roman Catholic priests and cardinals were there, and other people such as Andre Crouch. You've heard of him. Through it all. So that's the mixture, folks. And back in 2016, there was a meeting called the Together 2016 meeting where Pope Francis, again, he appears by video. Think about this. It's like these end-time movies, folks. It's like this Antichrist spirit appearing by video. And think about this. Big name preachers. It's accepted. Do you see what I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen? This is the hour. It's late. It's late. So I'm warning you once again. And the man who started that 2016 meeting, a man by the name of Nick Hall, and you know, he talked about what a privilege it was, what an honor that His Holiness the Pope would appear to them at this meeting. And you had, I think it was for like 1 million people. I don't know how many people actually showed up, but all big names were on the itinerary for that meeting. So you see where we're heading, folks. That is the agenda. Remember 1994, you have the ECT agreement. That's when evangelicals and Catholics, they sign this agreement. You know, we're not going to evangelize you. They're going to work together to evangelize the world. No, you cannot do that, folks. We preach to the Catholics, okay? We love them. You preach to them, though. Tell them they need to be saved, need to be born again of the Spirit. So that movement was headed by the late Chuck Colson. By the way, his wife was a Roman Catholic. Think back in 1986 in Assisi, Italy, when Pope John Paul II, he had that meeting with 12 major religions. There were all sorts of people there, witch doctors, people from Islam, the Buddhist people, Hindu, you name it, they were there, folks. So that's another thing that is absolutely mind-blowing. Here's a part I want you to pay close attention to, ladies and gentlemen, regarding a man by the name of Shimon Peres. He's dead. He's a Jewish man. There was a meeting that took place in late 2014 between Pope Francis and Shimon Peres, okay? And Shimon Peres believed that the Holy Father, Pope Francis, was the one person who could bring about world peace, okay? So it says, Shimon Peres, a patriarch of today's Israel, wants to leave a legacy. Most in this mode aim for things like monuments, memoirs, and money. Peres's aim is world peace. And in his opinion, Pope Francis, a man he calls Holy Father, is the one to make it happen. Vatican spokesmen concur, as does Italy's representative for Islam, who fully agrees. That's heavy. So here's this man saying that this is the guy we want. He should be the leader. Okay. On September 4th, 2014, he was granted an impressive 45-minute meeting with Catholicism's popular pontiff, a man Peres asserts is more powerful than the United Nations for advocating peace. The problem, as Peres sees it, is that in the past, most wars were motivated by the idea of nationality. Today, however, they're being waged primarily in the name of religion. In an exclusive interview with the Catholic periodical Famiglia Cristiana, the Christian family, Peres divulged his plans. Perhaps for the first time in history, the Holy Father is a leader not only respected by many people, but also by different religions and their leaders. In fact, Peres clarified, is perhaps the only truly respected leader in the world today. while Francis has refrained from commenting on Perez's assessment, that same silence permits it. It also permits the framework of Perez's idea to be tested in the crucible of world opinion. The United Nations has had its day, Perez opined. What we need is an organization of united religions, a United Nations of religions. This will be the best way, he continued, to fight terrorists who kill in the name of faith. He was asked by Fulvio Scaglione, deputy managing editor of Famiglia Cristiana, would you see the Pope as the leader of united religions? Yes, Perez replied. So this is what we're dealing with, folks. It's accepted. The Muslim leader, his name is Yahya Pahlavicini. He's the Imam of the Al-Wahid Mosque in Milan and Vice President of Islamic Religious Community of Italy, okay? So, you know, he's agreeing with this thing regarding the Pope. By the way, that article came from the Jerusalem Post. Here's something you need to know, folks. Shimon Peres was not a believer in Jesus Christ. Keep in mind what the Lord said. He said, I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. So this is what we are dealing with, ladies and gentlemen, regarding this acceptance. You have the unity taking place. The unity. And we're all one. You know, often you'll hear talk about the three monotheistic religions, you know, talking about Judaism, Christianity, Islam. Folks, there's only one way, and it's through Jesus Christ. You know, as I spoke before about that meeting that they had, Pope John Paul II in Assisi, Italy. I remember the Pope was smoking a long peace pipe. You know, people are Buddhists with it, Islam, Judaism, Hinduism, witch doctors. So you got to say to yourself, how does the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob feel about all this anyway? Look at Isaiah 44 and verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. There's only one God. But you have to realize, folks, that the first and the last is speaking about the person of Jesus Christ. Revelation 1, 17 and 18. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Glory to God. You know, folks, the Jewish people do not receive Jesus Christ as the Messiah. They don't believe he's Lord. They don't believe he's the Son of God. And nor do the Muslims believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They don't even believe that God has a Son. Can you imagine this? So when you see this unity taking place, this proposal, you see this, folks? The way that the popes, Pope John Paul II, Pope Francis and other popes, they talk about this unity, the three great monotheistic religions. Oh, we're working together. Sorry, it does not work that way. You know, a lot of talk is about dialogue, how you dialogue. Well, here's a dialogue. Here's a dialogue between Jesus and his own people. John 8, 42 to 45, Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Wow. So, you know, that's the way the Lord Jesus Christ dialogue, folks. So what you see here when the popes talk, that's their Roman Catholic message. It's deception. And that's why I'm speaking the way I am. John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." So is the Pope worshiping in God in spirit and in truth? Absolutely not, by the very way he speaks, joining hands with people who reject him as Messiah, as Christ, as Lord. It cannot fit, folks. It does not fit. So don't forget that. Isaiah 8:20, "To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." So, you know, keep in mind, folks, that the Muslims, they do not even believe that God has a son. Think about that. They don't believe it. Here's some quotes from the Quran. "The Messiah, Jesus, the son of Mary, was no more than God's apostle. God is but one God. God forbid that he should have a son. Those who say the Lord of mercy has begotten a son preach a monstrous falsehood at which the very heavens might crack. God forbid that he himself should beget a son." Now, and if you're a true born-again believer, you should be outraged by that. Here's some more. "Praise be to God who has never begotten a son, who has no partner in his kingdom. God has begotten a son? God forbid. Self-sufficient is he. If the Lord of mercy had a son, I'd be the first to worship him." So that's the belief of the people of Quran, and the Jewish people reject Jesus. They don't believe God has a son. They don't believe he's the son of God. They don't believe he's the Messiah. This is what the Apostle John said, 1 John 5, 9-13. "If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his son. He that believeth not the son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record God gave of his son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his son. He that hath the son hath life, and he that hath not the son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the son of God." Do you see how eternal life, it's all in Jesus Christ, folks? So the Muslim, and for the Jewish person, they reject Christ. Look, they reject him as the son, and that's where eternal life is. Do you see that? How can you have unity with those people? It's impossible. It's absolutely impossible. So if you're a Christian and you go along with a program like that, folks, you need to repent. Get right with God. This is the word of God, folks. This is the word that will judge you one day. The Bible tells us that the wrath of God is abiding upon them who refuse to believe in Christ as Messiah and Lord. It says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." They are of an antichrist spirit, 1 John 2:22. "Who is a liar? But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ." He's antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. 1 John 4:3. "And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of antichrist whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist." That's 2 John 1:7. So we see the big problem, folks, when you join in unity with people who reject Christ as Lord, as Messiah. They reject the deity of Christ, the divinity of Christ. Hear me now. Jesus Christ is God. Hallelujah. I'll say it again. Jesus Christ is God, equal to the Father and the Holy Spirit. That's the Jesus that I serve, folks. And that's the Jesus you need to know. So God speaks to us how? In his present day, by his Son. Hebrews 1, verses 1 to 3. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers, by the prophets hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Glory to God. God speaks by his Son. He purged our sins by himself. Mother Mary was not there, folks. Has nothing to do with it regarding purging our sins. So, you know, let me give some glory to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in this time of apostasy. Let me leave you with words you can remember. John 14 and 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no other way, folks. Acts 4:10-12, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. I mean, it was healed. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Glory to God. John 8:23-24. And he said unto them, speaking to Jesus, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Now, if you look at the King James, which I read, it says, for if ye believe not that I am, the word he is in italics. What he's saying, Jesus said, if you don't believe that I am, that's the name of Almighty God, ladies and gentlemen. And he's saying, if you don't believe that, you're going to die in your sins. Hear me now. If you don't believe that Jesus Christ is the I am, we're talking about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. If you don't believe that, you're going to die in your sins, no matter who you are. No matter what you believe, you will die in your sins. Exodus 3:13-14, this is where that name is spoken. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. So right then and there, you know, God told Moses when he was asked, what should I tell him? What's your name? He said, I am. Tell him, I am hath sent me unto you. So here Christ uses that same lingo, the same wording, ladies and gentlemen, when he spoke to the people. And he said, if you don't believe that I am, you shall die in your sins. Oh, yes. So this is good stuff, ladies and gentlemen. Keep in mind that Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, could it be any clearer, ladies and gentlemen? We're talking about the words of Jesus Christ. We're talking about the one who created all things. Look around you, the mountains, the seas, the oceans, the trees, creation, mankind. And he said, you're not condemned if you believe on him, but if you don't believe, you're already condemned. You're going to end up in hell, folks. Let's get real. Let's not play religious games. You will end up in hell. So, right from the mouth of Jesus Christ himself. So you've heard a lot in this documentary, ladies and gentlemen. I testified how I came out of darkness, how the truth set me free. By the power of the Holy Spirit, my spiritual eyes were opened up. So, you know, the things I spoke about here, you know, the man-made teachings of Rome, the counterfeit Christ of the Eucharist, the counterfeit new birth through infant baptism, the counterfeit Mary, including all of the apparitions, the counterfeit place called purgatory, over 100 curses against those people who reject her teachings. You find that in the Council of Trent, which was upheld by the Council of Vatican II. Rome declares that they are the only true church. And then you have indulgences, mass cards, rosary beads, the confessional booth, and so on and so forth. Folks, we listen to the teaching regarding the martyrs, the men and women of God who stood against the false teachings of Rome, and they paid the price for it. People such as William Tyndale, who desired to get this book, the Bible, the forbidden book of the Church of Rome in those days, wanted to get this book into the hands of the common people, so that people like myself, the ungodly wretches of the world, can benefit. And we did benefit from their labors, ladies and gentlemen. Keep in mind, in Mexico, Christians are still being persecuted, banned from certain villages, simply because they refused to convert to Roman Catholicism. Many of those were former Catholics, ladies and gentlemen. So you're dealing with some serious stuff here, folks. As I said, Rome has an agenda. We've seen the inroads, the infiltration that the Church of Rome has made over many, many years. The whole world has watched for all of that time. Whenever the Pope travels the world, the media is all over it. So people are being conditioned, ladies and gentlemen, conditioned, still being conditioned for the ultimate deception, especially with all of these counterfeit unity meetings that have become so commonplace in these last days. What you are hearing is, we are brothers. We are brothers. Let us finish the work that God began. We are brothers. So it's the coming brotherhood of men that we are being set up for, ladies and gentlemen. It is a unity in the flesh, not in the spirit. Don't forget that. The unity that the Pope is talking about is a unity in the flesh. It's a man-made unity. It is not a unity in the spirit. There's always been a true unity in the Holy Ghost, ladies and gentlemen. So the Bible tells us this in Galatians 3 and 26, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." How do you become a child of God? By faith in Christ Jesus. As I said, the popish mode, the popish unity, it is a unity in the flesh. The counterfeit Holy Father does not preach the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Who would ever think that a pope could enter Christian meetings at the drop of a hat, appearing on video screens? And here's a church that has over 100 curses against people who reject their counterfeit teachings. Can you imagine if somebody made a request for the pope to read some of those 100 curses before the people? Can you imagine that? How ridiculous that would be? And I wonder if the people would even bat an eye. It's unbelievable, folks. But this is what is going on today. Oh, yes. You know, one of the curses, if you refuse to believe in the Eucharist, if you refuse to believe that it can be carried around and adored, you're under a curse. So I'm under plenty of curses, ladies and gentlemen. So this is what you're dealing with, folks. You know, all it would take is just one global shaking event for something to be set in motion. Where do you think people are going to turn to? They're going to go running to the counterfeit Holy Father, because they've been conditioned to do exactly that. You know, I remember the October missile crisis, the Cuban crisis. If you're old, you probably remember it. And that took place in October of 1962 when there was ships coming from Russia toward Cuba and missiles, nuclear missiles, and the whole nine yards. And there was a lot of talk, a lot of fear of a nuclear confrontation taking place. And even in our modern day, we're hearing that type of talk going on regarding that war over in Ukraine. You know, Russia and Ukraine, we're hearing talk of nuclear weapons being used. So who knows, folks? Things can change in one day. You'll never forget that. One day, things can change. Things can be turned upside down. So, folks, I want you to know that God has a global plan also, and God always wins. Luke 2, 10 and 11, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." There's only one Savior, ladies and gentlemen. This Savior came into the world approximately 2,000 years ago, and this is good tidings. It's great joy, and it's for all people. Jewish people can be saved, Muslims can be saved, Buddhists, Hindus, and so on, but they must come through Jesus Christ, the Savior. There's only one way to be saved, and that same Savior said this in Isaiah 43 and 11, "I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me, there is no Savior." So, folks, the Savior that I believe in today is eternal. He came down from above, sent down from above, and it says right here, "I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me, there is no Savior." If you remember the story that was told in the Gospel of John, chapter 4, of the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well that met Jesus Christ, she had an encounter with him, and then she went back to her town to tell her townspeople what took place. So they wanted to meet this man called Jesus Christ. Listen to this in John 4:42. This is what they said to the woman that brought them back. "And said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." So those people, they had an encounter with Christ also. They knew that he was the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Folks, this is approximately 2,000 years ago. There's nothing to wait for, no postponement. Either you come through Christ or you don't come at all. And this same Jesus Christ said this to his followers in John 14 and 26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." Now keep in mind, those people that came back to meet Jesus, they didn't need a popish interpretation of the scriptures. They did not need a teaching office called the Magisterium. They did not need the Vatican. They had an encounter with the living God, and that's how it is with every person who's been truly born again of the Spirit. The counterfeit unity, ladies and gentlemen, with other religions is exposed by this verse here, Romans 8 and 9. "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." That shuts down that false unity. Ladies and gentlemen, talking about three monotheistic religions, the Jewish people, the Muslims, and the Christians. Right here, folks, you need the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit, same thing. "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." If you don't have the Holy Ghost, folks, you don't belong to God. I'm telling you right here. This is the Word of God. This is the Word of God that will judge you one day. So if you don't know the Lord, folks, 2 Peter 3:9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Listen to this in Romans chapter 10, verses 11 through 13, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. As I get ready to close, I'm going to give you a couple of quotes from two different people. There was a man by the name of Keith Green. He wrote a series of gospel tracts, Bible tracts, if you would, called the Catholic Chronicles. He spoke out against the Church of Rome. I happen to have a copy of each of those tracts. You cannot get them anymore. They were pulled. This man died in a small plane crash back in 1982. Along with a missionary family, two of his own children. Plane went down, you know, I believe it was right on their own property. And shortly before he was killed, he wrote these tracts, folks. This is what he said regarding the Church of Rome. Don't ever forget what you are about to hear. It is obvious by even this brief glimpse into the doctrines of mortal and venial sins, confession, penance, and purgatory, that the Roman Catholic Church has constructed one of the most unbiblical doctrinal systems that has ever been considered Christian. The fear, anguish, and religious bondage that such a system of reward and punishment creates has tormented millions of lives for centuries and continues to prey on those who are ignorant of the biblical way of salvation. To merely call such a system a cult would be to throw it into the vast category of religions and quasi-religions that are currently making the rounds of our college campuses and city streets, snatching up many an unsuspecting youth. No, the Roman Church is not a cult. It's an empire with its own ruler, its own laws, and its own subjects. The empire has no borders. It encompasses the globe with its eye on every person who does not vow allegiance. It calls the members of other faiths separated brethren and has as its goal the eventual bringing together of everyone under its flag. I know that many will not be convinced or moved by this article or any of the others to make such a conclusion. They are impressed by what they've heard about recent stirrings among the Catholics in the charismatic renewal. Many evangelicals, especially charismatics, have been thrilled by the reports of Catholics speaking in tongues, dancing in the spirit, having nights of joy and praise, even attending charismatic masses. Mouths that used to speak out boldly against the Church of Rome have been quieted by the times. It no longer is in vogue to speak of the Pope as the Antichrist or the Catholic Church as the whore of Babylon. Now Protestants unwittingly believe that our differences are not so great. That is just what she needs us to think. I've never completely understood why God led me to write these articles, but it becomes more clear with each day of study and each page of research. Never has something so black and wicked gotten away with appearing so holy and mysteriously beautiful for so long. And that's once again Keith Green from the Catholic Chronicles. The last closing quote here, I close this documentary out with the quote from a famous street preacher from England, the author of a book, Why Revival Tarries. So this man, he was a bold and uncompromising outdoor evangelist. I heard when he preached on the streets, he would stop traffic, folks. He was a powerful man of God. This is what he wrote, and you can find this in that book, Why Revival Tarries. America would shake from coast to coast in 24 hours. If some preacher anointed with the Holy Ghost gave the Roman Catholic Church a broadside, these priests who dope men's souls, these idolatrous masses, these Calvary eclipsing prayers to Mary, these miserable millions cheated in life and death, by the greatest forgery Lucifer ever made.